Welcome to the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and I am delighted and honored that you are joining us for 3 days of exploring the interconnection between veganism as a way of liberating animals and humanity and our beautiful earth with the health freedom philosophy that we have sovereignty as human beings and can take responsibility for our own health. So I would like to just begin by thanking also the other 15 presenters that we have joining us, 5 each day for the next 3 days. This is Friday, October 15th, 2021. So this is the first day of the 3-day summit, and the theme for this first day is health and nutrition truth, because I think this is really important to get to the deeper truths underlying health and nutrition. So all of you who have been exploring a path of questioning the official narratives in our society about food have come across the basic idea that animal-based foods are not very healthy typically. They concentrate saturated fat, cholesterol, acidifying and inflammatory animal protein, and large amounts of toxins. So I think from the point of view of health, we'll be hearing from some people too that it's not a good idea to base our diet on animal-based foods and instead to base our diets on whole, I would say organic, plant-based foods. I've been doing this now for 41 years, since 1980, and I have to say it's worked great for me, and I'm not the only one. There's literally millions of people who are thriving as vegans and long-term. This is not a new thing. And my wonderful spouse, Madeline, of course, and we meet many people as we travel all over the United States and worldwide speaking on the benefits of moving to a plant-based way of eating and living for the benefit not just of ourselves, but for others. So I think the foundation, really, of the philosophy that we call veganism is loving kindness or ahimsa, nonviolence. The yearning to minimize the amount of violence that we're causing to others, not only other human beings, but also animals, ecosystems, future generations of all beings, and of course, hungry people, workers who have to stab animals all day. There's a whole interconnected web of trauma that's caused by animal agriculture. And the basic idea is that when we sow violence and disease in other beings, we're going to reap that in ourselves, in our own experience, in the body of our affairs, and in the body of our physical being. So it's wonderful that I think more people are beginning to realize this. And our main focus, really, in this lifetime is to help share this message as effectively as we possibly can. So let's talk a little bit about these interconnections. Health in the physical body is just one of, I would say, 5 dimensions of health. So we have a holistic approach in mind here. And I think holism is very important. Reductionism and materialism are devastating our health and our society. So a holistic approach sees that there are at least five dimensions of health. One of them, of course, is our physical body. We think of that as being healthy. But there's an embedded reality here. We are embedded in ecosystems. So if the ecosystems are polluted and unhealthy, we won't be healthy. We're embedded in a culture, a society. If the society is unhealthy, it's going to be difficult for us to be healthy. We're embedded also in a mental framework, our mind. If our mind is unhappy, unhealthy, and depressed, and anxious, and frustrated, and so forth, that's going to affect our physical health. And then finally, 5th is our spiritual health. You can also look at this as perhaps existential or ethical health, the health of the lifetime that we're living. Are we living our purpose? So these 5 interconnected dimensions of health are crucial in our understanding, and also to understand that animal agriculture, which is the living core of our society, which is invisible. Most people don't realize that our society is based on animal agriculture at its core, that we live in a herding culture. But that's fundamental. It took me 20 years to figure that out. We live in a herding society. Instead of herding the animals one by one like we did maybe thousands of years ago, it's industrialized and computerized. But nevertheless, the point is that animal agriculture, herding animals, the living core of our society, always relentlessly attacks and harms and erodes all five dimensions of health. And I won't go into this in depth. You understand this. I think most of us understand this, that animal agriculture is very wasteful and inefficient, so it's destroying the health of our environment, takes huge amounts of toxic chemicals and poisons, monocrop fields of genetically engineered corn and soy and alfalfa and other feed grains are fed to animals. We're overfishing the oceans. We're destabilizing the ecosystems on every level. Soil depletion, water pollution, air pollution, climate destabilization, species extinction, all of this. And the great good news is that we could feed everyone on a fraction of the land with a fraction of the pollution if and when we move to a plant-based way of eating, because it takes far less. According to the National Academy of Sciences, it's 12 to 1. Say 12, it takes 12 times as much land and water and petroleum and so forth to feed someone eating the standard Western diet as it does someone eating a whole food, organic, plant-based diet. So this is really good news. This is the basic good news of health, that we can allow the ecosystems to heal, to come back into balance again. We can allow oceans and river systems, riparian habitats, water tables, all to recharge and become healthier. We can stop the mass extinction of other species that's going now because of habitat loss. So a healthy environment is really founded on, predicated on, moving to a plant-based way of eating. It's going to be virtually impossible for that to happen if we want to eat animal foods, meat, dairy products, and eggs, because it takes so much feed to feed these animals if we're going to eat their flesh and secretions. Okay, so that's that. Cultural health is critically important. If we live in a sick society, how can we be healthy? Remember what Krishnamurti said. He said, it is not a good idea to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society. So this is very important. So to understand that animal agriculture harms our health on every level, partly because it's so wasteful of resources. So we have sick people, we have dying people, we have starving people. That's all very hard on our health. It's well understood, really, that starvation and food shortages are really the primary cause of war and conflict in society. So just to be aware that animal agriculture, through its inefficiency, is causing our brothers and sisters, especially those in less industrialized nations who cannot compete economically for grain, the price of grain, we drive it up on the world market to feed to our imprisoned animals, cows and pigs and chickens, and we drive it up beyond the reach of people living in less industrialized nations, so they're forced off their land. And it's a whole system, basically, based on might makes right and the domination of the less powerful by the more powerful. And animal agriculture creates this kind of a system because it's based on domination of the weak by the strong and based on the inefficiencies and making profits from those inefficiencies. So this is the system we're born into. It creates hunger and war directly. We have whole armies of people stabbing animals, abusing them on rape racks, stealing their babies, killing their babies, work their things out, the worst in them. So again, animal agriculture is webs of trauma that radiate into our society. It's the opposite of health. It's disease and misery, basically, not only for ecosystems, but for wildlife and for indigenous populations who are also forced off their land, for hungry people, for workers. And when we look at our own physical health, again, we can look and see very clearly that what we're designed to be eating are whole organic plant-based foods. And as Dr. T. Colin Campbell and others have shown us very clearly, our body can tolerate and deal with somehow animal-based foods, but it's not the natural foods we're designed for. There's no fiber, for goodness sake, in animal-based foods. Fiber is an incredibly important nutrient. So all of the nutrients that we need to thrive and celebrate our lives, we can get from plant-based sources. And that's the great good news underlying everything, that there is actually no reason for us to imprison other living beings and eat their flesh and secretions, because all the nutrients we need to thrive and be healthy we can get directly from plants. We can grow gardens and fields and orchards and feed ourselves. And this is the miracle of the abundance of thanksgiving, of a plant-based way of eating and giving thanks for the basic generosity of this earth and the incredible abundance. I'm sure you've noticed at some point in your life that this earth is beautiful. This earth is also abundant and can feed all of us easily, really on a fraction of the land and a fraction of the pollution that we've been causing. So let's just keep those things in mind and be aware also that the other two other dimensions of health, our psychological health and our spiritual health, are also harmed by animal agriculture, because the underlying mentality required by animal agriculture is a mentality that is not in our best interest. And again, this is very important to understand that in order to be killing millions of animals every day, actually when we include marine animals, it's actually billions of animals every day, it takes a huge amount of not just physical energy, but psychological energy. And to repress everything, to repress the awareness that we're killing so many other beings and causing so much misery, that we have to stay shallow and not look deeply and not feel deeply, not care deeply, that we have to reduce the being on our plate, a burger or a piece of cheese or an egg or fish sticks, not see them as a being. This is gross and crass materialism. Materialism in the sense that we reduce everything to matter. So animal agriculture requires of our society, our entire society, that we basically reduce our intelligence, that we not see what's actually happening, that we reduce our cognitive as well as our emotional as well as our spiritual intelligence, all three levels, to be able to act this way. So it's not our fault. We're born into a system that's already enslaved animals and in many ways is doing the same thing to us by reducing our capacities and our intelligence, because we have to eat the flesh and secretions of horribly abused animals regularly every day for most people. And these rituals, as anthropologists tell us, are the most powerful ritual in any society, our meals, where we transmit values from generation to generation. So the underlying idea is that for us to be healthy, physically, culturally, environmentally, psychologically, and spiritually, which has to do with our purpose, that we cannot steal the purposes of other beings, not steal their babies, destroy their lives, destroy their happiness. All of that forces them into misery and disease. And as we sow, so shall we reap. This is the great wisdom teaching of the ages within all the wisdom traditions of our planet. That's the fundamental core teaching. Whatever you most want for yourself, give that to others. So I'd like to talk about how we can actually thrive and be healthy in our world today. And I think there's probably five or six main things. Number one, of course, is to abandon eating animal-based foods, because as I've just been saying, animal-based foods and animal agriculture as an institution, which is a core founding principle of our society today, is devastating to all forms of health on every level, regardless. It always is. It's harmful. It's based on a lie. We do not need to imprison other beings to be free ourselves. We don't have to force them into slavery and misery to be healthy ourselves. And if we're owning another being as property, that is a form of violence. And if we don't see that, it just shows how deeply we have been enslaved ourselves. If we don't see that, if someone owned us as property, we would understand that. If they've taken away our sovereignty and we depend on them for food and everything else, if we depend on the government for handouts, right? We have to understand these things, contemplate and feel into, meditate on what's actually happening. So it's essential to understand the keys to health. And I think food is a major one. And in a holistic perspective, we see that being healthy is a holistic thing, right? So the problem is we're raised in a society that's based on reductionism, where usually we say, well, if someone is sick, it's because their genes aren't good, which we have no control over our genes, right? Or because they've been attacked by germs, some kind of germs of some kind. And so, of course, that all of those take away our basic sense of responsibility. They turn us into victims and make us dependent on the military, right? The pharmaceutical, medical, military, who comes in with their protocols and their procedures and their poisons, basically to kill the bacteria, to kill the viruses, to kill the pathogens, whatever they are, to manipulate, to cut open our body and move things around, wherever they take out bad things and so forth. So it's quite a system that's quite violent if we actually look at it. And it's very reductionistic. And yet it's taught as the gospel truth. This is the only way to live. So a holistic point of view would be, gosh, you know, what this physical body is actually an arising, isn't it? It's an arising with many conditions. It's based on my mind, right? We know this very well, that our minds, psychoneuroimmunology is a field that is pretty well established now, that our bodies create a variety of different substances, thousands of them actually. So the basic idea is that when we have certain moods like frustration and stress and anger, that those are not healthy for us. When we feel joy and gratitude and love and creative exuberance, then that's a whole other thing for ourselves. So think about the power of our mind. Think about the power of our environment. If we're bringing in to our body all the time various toxins that are in the water and the air and in the food, then we are going to have ourselves be attacked by those toxins. And there's really over 80,000 different chemicals that are being spewed into the environment right now. I mean, that's just a conservative number that we know of that are tracked. But these are all have effects on our body. So our body is continually doing the best it can to cleanse from all these toxic chemicals that are spewed by the chemical industry. And the pharmaceutical industry, of course, is part of that. It's part of the chemical industry. So to understand that we live in an environment, and so we're cleansing. So it's very important, as much as we can, to eat food that's clean. So I really recommend, if you want to be healthy, organic is critical, not only because it's much healthier for us. The food has more life force, and there's not so many pesticide, herbicide, fungicide, chemical fertilizer, you know, residues. It's plant-based, because otherwise it's got eaten a huge amount of toxins, because most of the animals we're eating are fed fish meal, and fish concentrate heavy metals and PCBs and dioxin and nuclear radiation and all kinds of things in their flesh. They concentrate in dairy products. Cows are fed huge amounts of fish. So we have to understand all of that. So, right, so eat lower on the food chain. Eat whole foods that are organic. It's much better for the environment also, because if we're not eating organic, then these pesticides, herbicides, and chemical fertilizers are killing birds and fish and butterflies and bees and so forth. So all of these things go together. So a whole organic plant-based food, as much as possible locally sourced, as much as possible grow it yourself or get it at a farmer's market nearby. This is a whole new frontier. My wife Madeline and I, now that we're not living in the RV anymore, which we did for almost 18 years, we have a little bit of land here, half an acre, and we grow a lot of food. We have about 70 fruit and nut trees. It's all veganic, in other words, organic with no bone meal, blood meal, fish meal, and so forth. And so with all of the efforts we can put into the land and give love to the land and love to the earth and love to the plants, the love comes back, right? We can build the soil. We can build the microbiome of the soil. Commercial agriculture is based on destroying the microbiome of the soil. It's based on creating ecosystems that are monocrops, where it's a violent system. It's an animal agriculture-based mentality of a war against nature. And so now we not only do animal agriculture as a war against animals and nature, we do plant agriculture as a war against animals and nature with pesticide, herbicides, fungicides, and all this stuff. So the whole idea is to get back to a more holistic and loving and kind and sustainable way of living, where we're growing our own food or supporting people who are doing that, who are building the soil, who are building relationships with local animals and insects that are mutually beneficial. It's possible. It's an experiment. We've lost the thread on that, but we can find it again. So food is critically important. That's a major thing. And I would say, of course, there's a lot that goes into the food. It's important to use pans, for example, cooking utensils that don't have, that aren't cheap, that don't have heavy metals in them, that have metals, aluminum and Teflon, all these things. Good pans are really important, actually. And make sure that when you're cooking the food and eating the food, that you have an attitude of joy and gratitude. We don't buy foods, really, hardly any, from factories anymore. We did in the very, you know, years and years, decades ago, perhaps just transitioning. But as the years have gone by, we've gotten to the point where we buy foods in their natural state. We buy vegetables for buying food or growing them ourselves, fruits, grains, nuts, seeds, and legumes, and we make it from scratch. It doesn't take much longer once you know what you're doing. And we grind our own flour, and Madeline has a flaker to roll the oats. And you know, we do these things ourselves, make our own yogurt and plant-based milks and so forth from the organic sources. And it's not only much healthier, it's just much more harmonious. When we take in the energy of factories, that's what we're eating. So all of these things, I think, are essential. Food, water, of course, is a whole other thing. Make sure your water is as much as possible free of contaminants. We have a device that structures the water so that it's more natural, because all these pipes aren't the greatest thing. There's so many things you can just be aware of, how far we've drifted away from a natural way of living. Air, of course, is important. Breathing, getting outside, fresh air, sunshine, incredibly important. Vitamin D. So having a connection with nature is essential, and having a connection with your own creativity is essential. When we're creative, all of our cells have a purpose for living. Our body has a reason for being. These are the most important essentials, I would say. The three main things really are attitude, probably number one, our mental state, taking time to meditate regularly so that we're just able to relax in this present moment and feel a sense of harmony and basic goodwill to every living being, not feeling any sense of animosity toward anyone, but realizing that we're creating out of our own consciousness our life. So I would say, personally, from my own experience, meditation is a very important foundation for being healthy, because number one, it's something that we're taught not to do, right? We're taught to always be busy. And there's a reason for that, why they want us always busy, chasing after money and whatever else we're chasing after. And instead of that, just simply stop. So I always spend at least 2 hours every morning in quiet time and meditate for over an hour, probably an hour and a half, just sitting in meditation, doing some breathing exercises and just listening within. And connecting with the source of consciousness, the true nature that shines within all of us. We all, there's a being that shines within all of us. And when we connect with that ourselves and realize that what we are actually is not this physical body, we are infinite and eternal consciousness that was never born and will never die. And when we see that in ourselves and we see it in others automatically, it doesn't matter what their skin color is, race, gender, preference, species, none of it matters. You see the being, right? When we see the being, then we naturally love and honor and respect that being, and we're free of all of the materialistic conditioning that causes us to create phony, false divisions among us and between us. So we have a natural sense of kinship with all living beings, with other human beings, a sense of solidarity with others, a sense of joy, and a sense of wanting others to be happy and to have all the causes of happiness, so we can drive our car and just send love to everybody. Walking through the post office or whatever, we can send love to everybody. That's what veganism is. It's sending love to all beings. It's not merely not eating meat, dairy, and eggs, and not wearing wool, silk, and leather, and not going to the rodeo and so forth. It's an active practice of sending and radiating loving kindness, compassion, and joy to all beings all the time. That when we live this way, we don't do it for ourselves. We do it because that's in harmony with the way the world is. We are all interconnected. The underlying idea is that the welfare of all beings is interconnected. So the more we bless others, the more we bless ourselves. The more we give to others, the more abundant our life is. The more we love others, the more love. The more we free others, the more we're free. So if we find ourselves living in a society that enslaves other beings, that causes them suffering, that forces them into disease, you can be sure that's going to be boomeranging right back on us. So why is that not being discussed in the last 18 months? Why are we not talking about these basic truths of the holistic approach to health that is the core of veganism? Right? Veganism is about looking deeply, feeling deeply, seeing the bigger picture. When we see a burger, we don't just see a burger, we see a cow, right? We look beyond the surface to the reality. So this is the key, just look beyond the surface to the reality and realize that an animal agriculture-based society is always sowing the seeds of its own destruction. It's as it destroys and wars against nature and animals, it's destroying and warring against the people, and the people themselves are being exploited in doing that. So health is about questioning those things. So that's number one, attitude. Our attitude is something we have control over. No matter even what our childhood was like, the present moment, right now, each one of us can stand quarter at the gate of our thought, right? Stand guard and be aware of our thoughts and learn to witness them. Practice. It's like we've all been given this beautiful instrument of a physical body and a mind, which we can make beautiful music with. The problem is we've never been taught how to play it. Right? It's like, you know, I grew up practicing the piano. Like my father played the piano, and I was the oldest child. I wanted to be like him. So from the time I was like 2 years old, I was playing the piano. And at a certain point, I started getting lessons from him and then from other people. And he always said, look, you can do what I'm doing, but you've got to practice. And so I would mark it down on the chart in the kitchen every day. I put in my 45 minutes. And I learned, I think at a very deep level, that practice is a discipline that brings freedom. Freedom requires discipline. People look at veganism like it's a discipline. It's not a discipline. I mean, it's a pure joy. Like for me to sit down now after thousands of hours of practicing the piano, there's a tremendous amount of freedom. I can sit down and create melodies and play, and that discipline has become a joy and a freedom. It is a joy and a freedom. It's not a discipline to play the piano. It's not a discipline to eat healthy vegan food. It's not a discipline to send love to other people. But in the beginning, it can feel like that, right, when we're practicing. So veganism is not an goal or an end state. Veganism is a practice that we can always improve in. We can always become more loving, more aware, more conscious, more able to be a healing power in the world to plant seeds of love and kindness for others. What is our purpose on this planet, really? We need to think about that. Is it just to be healthy while we're here? Just to be safe? What an absurdity. We're not here to be safe or to be healthy. We're here to actually contribute and grow and learn and embark upon and live fully the grand adventure of a human life, of awakening, and being a force for blessing the world in our own unique way through our own unique creative capacities. So these, when we understand that, these keys that I'm talking about here will help us to actually manifest this. So inner silence, meditation, cultivating gratitude is part of it, I think. Like every morning, just waking up and just make sure the first thought is, wow, another day. I'm so grateful for the infinite possibilities that await to learn, to grow, and to contribute to making a world that's better for everyone. We can cultivate that and feel that throughout the day. We can plant those seeds every day. And then the other thing that's really important in our attitude, besides gratitude and meditation, is our relationships with other people, how we relate to other people. I've seen this, and I'm sure you have too, that we can really make ourselves sick with toxic relationships. If we have trauma that we haven't healed, if we have anger and frustration with others that we haven't taken care of, that'll eat away at us. That can cause all kinds of disease. This is well understood. So it's essential that we make an effort consciously to take full responsibility for the quality of our relationships, that we be loving in our relationships, even if other people aren't. You know, the more frustration and anger they project at us, the more love and kindness we can project back. That's what we're called to do. That's what we can do. This is something we can learn, we can practice. This is what veganism is. It's not merely not eating animal-based foods. It's actually the full transformation of our consciousness so that we become what veganism is. So it's a two-step process. I would like to emphasize that. The first step is not eating meat, dairy, and eggs. The second step is actually to embody veganism. That's much harder, much bigger job, but is infinitely rewarding. And it creates a life that is absolutely magnificent. It doesn't mean our life will be easy. We'll have all kinds of challenges, but that's the beautiful thing. The beautiful thing is we're living our life. We're not living a robotic life. We're not just following orders and trusting authorities. We may completely not trust authority. We may completely rebel against those authorities. In fact, it's probably a good idea to do that, especially today. But we're living according to our own inner authority, our own inner wisdom. That's where intuition comes in. Intuition is really a product of a quiet mind that has learned to be poised in silence and watch the thoughts coming up and listen in silence and receive, to be receptive, to cultivate the feminine capacity of being receptive. You know, the whole thing about animal agriculture is it's about dominating and oppressing the sacred feminine dimension of life. And I think the sacred feminine dimension, I call that Sophia, it means wisdom, actually. You know, it's intuitive wisdom. Sophia, the goddess of wisdom, it's feminine. It's within all of us, the wisdom to love and nurture and protect life. When that's functioning, then we come into harmony with not only ourselves, but with the world. And again, it doesn't mean life will be easy. We may have all kinds of challenges, especially when the world, as Krishnamurti points out, is profoundly sick. But we don't want to be that way. We are here to be different in many cases. And so that's what veganism is in many ways. It's refusing to comply with a sick society, saying, I'm not going to go along with that, whatever it is, and questioning all the official narratives which are paid for by what I refer to in the World Peace Diet as the military, industrial, meat, medical, pharmaceutical, media, banking complex. So we question that. So I'd like to look a little bit now together into this idea of sickness, like when our body gets sick. You know, what is that actually? And I would say that from the research I've been doing and what I've seen in my life here over the last 60 years, or more, I'm almost 70 at this point, the great gift I've had, I think, since I was a little kid, I learned, you know, my father was going to be a doctor, and then he didn't want to do that. He always said it's best to stay away from doctors. So I kind of stayed away from doctors in my life for the most part. And I've stayed away from pharmaceutical products. I haven't taken any kind of a pharmaceutical product, an aspirin or Tylenol, or even anything, even RightGuard, Rolaids, I don't know, whatever, anything you get in a drugstore, except maybe Band-Aids, since I was 18, like 50 years. That has helped show me, it's been a discipline, right? It's been a discipline. I'm not going to rely on these things. And so I've been able to rely on other things. And one of the things I've learned is that our body is so resilient and has such a tremendous amount of wisdom. And when I'm taught that if I have any kind of sniffle or cold or cough or rash or anything like that, that I should just go to a doctor or go to the drugstore and try to get rid of it, right? That's not a good idea. Because what that is, those symptoms are the body cleaning out toxins. We use our body to clean out toxins like rashes and runny noses and sore throats and coughs and diarrhea, all these things. And so as our body is cleansing, you know, even though our medical training, establishment training tells us to repress those symptoms, all that does is repress the toxins that have not been allowed to be released deeper into our tissues, cancer and much worse things will eventually come out of that, which of course makes even more profits for this industry. So the whole idea is to see in a holistic way what is going on, right? Maybe the problem is the food I'm eating or that I'm not getting exercise. I haven't really mentioned exercise. So besides the 2 hours in the morning I always spend some time exercising. I love yoga. Madeline does too. Madeline does a lot of yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, the Tibetan Five Rites. I swim every day in the lake down below, whatever the weather. Cold water is fantastic. I highly recommend just jumping in year-round. And it just really makes our body alive. And running, jumping. I love personally doing handstands. I do every day. I do 18 different handstands. I mean, we can do, just pick something you like to do. Dancing, you know, but exercise. The body is meant to celebrate, right? Celebrate our life. Celebrate the being that we are. And fresh, and do it as possible, I think. Do it outside in nature. The keys to health are connecting with nature, connecting with creativity. Every day I play the piano, do some writing, whatever it is for you that you can create. You know, the thing is, think of your cells as little beings, right? We have all these little beings inside of us. And what is their purpose? Their purpose is to support us, right? We are the eternal consciousness that has manifested this physical body, that is vivifying it. If when we leave this body, it just disintegrates, right? So it's here to serve us. And so we have the wisdom to tell our body what to eat and what to do. Don't think, oh, people say, oh, I'm listening to my body. I mean, you've got to listen to yourself, listen to your inner wisdom and take control, right? You're the one in charge of this vehicle. So that's the thing to understand. And that when we're living our life and being creative and living our purpose, then every cell in our being is talking to each other and say, okay, we got to really work together here this morning. You know, this guy's got work to do, or she's got important things she's doing. She's got a lot of love to give. Let's digest the food and make nerves will work. All of that. If we're like getting up in the morning and we're thinking, oh no, another day at the office. Oh man, I don't even want to go in. I'd rather stay in bed all day. I mean, what kind of a message are we giving to all the cells in our being, in our body? They're saying, oh gosh, you know, we might as well not do anything, and we might as well start disintegrating, because we might as well get really sick. I mean, our mind creates the physical vehicle that we have. It's very important to understand the power of our mind on every level. So exercise is a way of celebrating nature, creativity, healthy relationships, work that's important, having a purpose. That's the spiritual dimension, awakening to ever higher and higher levels of awareness, deeper and deeper understanding of the truth of being, questioning everything you ever read or hear. Question everything. Questioning. The word question, quest I on. Keep questing. Don't ever settle. It's a great saying by Emerson. He said, people long to be settled. Only to the degree that they are unsettled is there any hope for them. Remember that. You know, we talk about, people say, oh, the science is settled. Like we all know what reality is. I mean, don't make me laugh. And that is the biggest joke. Science is settled. It's definitely dead ignorance. It's nothing. Nothing is settled. We need to discover. We are so far from understanding anything. We live in one of the most primitive societies ever in the history of the world in terms of self-understanding, in terms of true harmony with nature. We are far away. Ancient cultures were so far ahead of us. And so we need to really develop some humility, I think, and realize that being unsettled is a very important thing. And that we can be part of the awakening of humanity on this planet. I mean, that's something to really get up and think about every day, and to make every cell in our body jump with joy, even when we're going through hard times, like we're going through now, especially hard times the last 18 months. And know that this especially challenging time, we're made for this. We're here for this. This is our purpose, is to help us to move through this, to be a force for healing, no matter what it looks like in the outer world, because we're bigger than just materialism. We're not just matter that was born and will die. Materialism is the worst enemy we possibly can have for real health, a healthy human being or a healthy society. A society based on materialism that reduces animals to the point so much that they're sold by the pound. I mean, think of that. We buy and sell these animals by the pound. How do we tolerate living in a culture that sells billions of animals by the pound, like they're just sacks of cement or rocks or dead matter. They're beings. Any of you who have had a companion animal, a dog or a cat, you know when you look into her eyes, there's someone in there, and that her interests are as important to her as my interests are to me, and you wouldn't want anyone to say, I'll give you $5 a pound for your dog. I mean, that would be insulting and ridiculous. And yet we do that. We reduce beings to matter. What does that do to them? It's terrible for them. They get tortured and killed and abused in the most horrible, despicable ways because we do that. Like Voltaire said, if we believe absurdities, we commit atrocities. But they're not the only ones harmed. We're harmed just by living in such a society. Even if we awaken out of it as vegans, we're still living in that society that's based on materialism that basically reduces everything to material level, where we have to sell ourselves on the market like we're pieces of meat ourselves with a resume and so forth. It creates commodities out of everything. When we commodify animals, we commodify everything. So the whole key here is to see this is not healthy. This is the opposite of health. You create disease, and disease is profitable. And reductionist approaches to disease are profitable. That's where the real money is, not in holistic approaches. For example, I had an experience when I was much younger, in my 20s. I decided to go on a meditation retreat. I was living in a Tibetan Buddhist center in San Francisco. And so I went up into Oregon where there was a special retreat center, and they had a tiny little retreat cabin. And I was doing a practice of doing 111,000 prostrations, and I was totally alone in the woods. And I didn't see anyone for quite a few months, 4 months maybe. And they would drop off food now and then, and I would pick it up, but I never saw anyone. I would just get the food when I needed it, and I stayed in the cabin. And I just did all this inner work. Prostrations and meditation. And one day, a couple of months into it, I got a back pain. It was so sharp. And, oh man, it hurt. Every time I bent forward and reached out, it was a terrible pain in my back. So I went to bed and I thought, I hope it's gone in the morning. And then in the morning, I got out of bed and, it hurt just as much as it did the day before. So I sat in meditation. And after a while, it was like someone spoke out loud in my ear this little phrase, a pain in the body is a pain in the mind. And I heard that. A pain in the body is a pain in the mind. And it was like some deep wisdom had just started shining into my life, which I started working with, and I had a journal I would write in from time to time. So I started writing in my journal, like, what is this pain in my body, and what is the pain in my mind that is causing that? That's what I felt it was telling me, and it just came to me. I knew I could see myself as a little boy. When I was young, I mean, I was so happy. I was running around. I was very free, and at a certain point, as I was growing up, I started having some experiences that were not that pleasant with relationships and different things. And so I started to kind of get a little bit more afraid of what might happen. And I started to hold back somewhat instead of just being out there, started holding back. And I could see that little boy, and I could see how he was hurt. And that I had internalized this at a deep level, right in my body, my muscles and things. So as I was writing, it just, after all these weeks and months of meditation and silence alone, it was like this process, inner work, was now bringing this up for me to heal. And it was ripe. It was ripe to heal. And so I said, all right, I'm ready to heal this. As I was writing, I just could feel this deep truth blazing forth in my consciousness that little boy is great. I love him, but that's not who I am. I am not afraid to reach out to life. I am life. Life is me. I'm not separate from the world. The world is arising in my consciousness in many ways, and I love my life, and I love what's happening in my life. I felt that so deeply and profoundly. And I got up off the bed, and I was writing, and I just reached, there was a bottle of water down there, and I just reached down and picked it up. There was no pain, and the pain was gone instantly. And it didn't come back. That was anything. I'd been kind of plagued with this for years and off and on. And so that basic thing is, like, I think we have to understand that very often Our physical body is giving us signals to help us heal things. But that's a holistic perspective. The reductionistic perspective is you just want to get rid of the pain and get on with your life, right? Then you never deal with the underlying issue. And if we don't deal with the underlying issue, it's going to manifest in some other way. So if it doesn't manifest as a backache, it'll manifest as an accident of some kind. Or as a, you know what I'm saying, right? Disease, diabetes, who knows what. Some kind of crisis. So the more we can deal with our stuff and work with and go deep, work with the issues that we have and listen deeply, not blame others for anything. Take responsibility for the quality of our own consciousness. Take responsibility for the quality of our own health. Healthy people do not make people sick. I mean, this whole thing of like, you know, that healthy people can make other people sick. I mean, I'm just the opposite. It's, you know, if anybody gets close to me, they're going to get healthy. They're not going to get sick because I'm radiating health, vibrant health. That's what I feel. And I'm eating and living and everything in that way. So, so from the very beginning, for me, when this whole thing started, back, you know, in January or February, March of 2020, my worrying about the so-called disease on a scale from 1 to 100 was less than 1. I mean, zero. I'm zero fear of that. I mean, zero. I mean, I've traveled all over the world with Madeline. We've gone all over India, Asia, China, Vietnam, Africa, Middle East, giving literally hundreds and hundreds of lectures, very tense schedule, flying every day or taking a bus or a train, you know. I never get sick. that's not an issue. You know, when we cleanse, I mean, all sickness is just the body cleansing. So if I do get a little something, I'm worrying about it. It'll cleanse. It'll go its course, and that's it. So that was zero fear. I couldn't figure out why everybody was so afraid. Of course, when people ask me why I'm so healthy, I think the main reason I'm so healthy, sometimes I say this, is because I haven't had a TV for 50 years either. But that's really important. Whatever, because we're eating not just food, we're eating media, right? And so eating the mainstream media is a disaster. I mean, it causes disease. It's devastating to our health. So, you know, I would never do that. I mean, I haven't done that. My father always called it the boob tube, and I learned early on I didn't have time for that. I was too busy running around playing or reading, and the television is full of these ads that are toxic. And I also was raised in the media, so I know in my bones, because my father owned a chain of newspapers, that the media is completely controlled by the advertisers. If my father ran any news story that a major advertiser didn't like, he'd go out of business. He'd lose the ads. That'd be the end of it. So whenever we read anything in the newspaper or TV, it's the corporation. So when we understand all that, we can see that essentially we're not getting in the media, we're not getting the truth. So I haven't had a television. So just not partaking of toxic media or movies. Most of the Hollywood movies are the same thing. I would never watch violence or support that kind of stuff. So the whole thing is to see that when this whole thing started, my worry about getting sick was basically zero. But my concern about what was going to happen to our society as a result of it, what our government was doing, what the media was doing, what the military, industrial, meat, medical, pharmaceutical, banking complex was doing, that was like 100. I mean, I was like really concerned, and I actually still am, because it's rolling out this thing where if we don't wake up, we keep losing freedoms one after the other. Health freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, freedom of bodily autonomy, freedom of travel, you know, all these different freedoms get taken away. Why do we allow that to happen? Why do we give that up so easily? So I think it's basically because we live in a culture of animal agriculture where we have repressed our natural sense of freedom because we're eating slavery every day. We've repressed our natural sense of sovereignty because we steal it from millions of beings and eat that and feed that to our children. So we have to go vegan as a society if we're going to hope to have any freedom of health and to be healthy. These things go together. It all goes together. And I think we have to be willing to risk being rejected or to risk not being part of the crowd. That's one of the things. I'm very often, not, I am myself or Madeline and I, are the only people in a store or in the post office or wherever it is who don't have a face covering on. Like, you know, we're the only ones. And it's okay. I'm for a long time, I've been the only one not eating animal foods. I've been the only one doing a lot of things. You know, so what? I mean, you know, that's, if I'm just going to be a robot and do what everybody else does, that's not, I'm not alive. We're not alive. We're not here to fit in and be part of a tribe. That is destructive at the very deepest level of the being that we are. We're here to co-create with others a world of harmony and peace and freedom and sovereignty, ability to live our lives, to meditate, to create, to build, to enjoy and to savor the beauty of this world. And a lot of the speakers, I think virtually all the speakers on this summit have faced this, have faced rejection, have been marginalized, have been criticized, have been abused because they've gone against the tribe, the tribal mentality, the vegan tribe, or whatever the tribe is, the family tribe. I mean, you know, that's, we have to realize that we're all going to get to that point when we leave this physical body, and what's going to matter is how we lived our life. That's going to matter. It's not going to matter what we accumulated or what people thought of us or how many friends we had on Facebook or anywhere else. Are we living our life? And I think one of the things that really helped me, and I think I'll just mention this as I was thinking about this, is the basic fact that when I was in college, I went through such a crisis of meaning. Everything looked like it was meaningless, and the war and so forth. So I started reading books on spirituality and the Bible and meditation books, yoga, Zen, different things, and seeing that it's possible to attain a higher consciousness. That's an amazing thing to really understand, that we can, by our own efforts, raise our consciousness and awaken out of the fear of self-centeredness, the fear and delusion of being a fundamentally separate self, that we can realize our true nature, which is so incredibly magnificent. When we connect with that, we begin to actually transform our life. So that started happening a little bit when I was 20, 21 at college. Then right after college, my brother and I had talked to my brother about it. He said, yeah, we should try to attain a higher consciousness. So we agreed on that. So we left home. And I said to my father, you know, we're not going to take over the newspaper. And he got his blessing and all these different things. And we engaged in what I realize now was a rite of passage. And I think that's missing in our society. Young people moving into adulthood, we really don't have any rites of passage in our society. Our society is so materialistic and lost, and just focused completely on corruption and profits by a wealthy elite, that we don't give our children what they need to live. But luckily, we just did it. We just left home. We didn't have any money. The little bit that we had, we actually, at one point, after about a month and a half, we each had $50 that we squirreled away in our backpacks. We never used it, but it was security, just in case. And I remember we were in this church in a kind of a wealthy little town in Pennsylvania, and we just thought, you know, the heck with security. And we took that money and we flushed it down the toilet in the church bathroom. And we looked at each other like, I can't believe we just did that. But it was sort of like a statement of just refusing to chase the almighty dollar anymore. To live our life is a statement of radical reliance on the loving power that is the source of all life in this world, and to live in service of that and not some outer material security. If you want to be really safe, be in a prison, right? If you want to be, I mean, in the prisons aren't very safe because people are crazy, but if you want to be safe, you can't be safe, right? So if we want to be safe, the only way to be safe is to live our lives with abandon, in the true sense of to give and learn and share and discover and try new things and get out of our little comfort zones. So I think a rite of passage to live and try and just not have any security. We didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. We didn't have anything to rely on. And we walked for all the way to Alabama, and we found miracles. I mean, miracles happened. We met people. Food somehow appeared. But we also stayed in jails, and we had quite some experiences and learned a lot about the mind and about society and about the way that we are telepathic with each other. We're very telepathic. I remember going to a church, and we were just quietly being there, meditating. And then this watchman came in, and he was really afraid of us. He was like, well, I could feel he was afraid. And I had no desire to harm him at all. I was just, you know, but I could feel his fear of me was making me want to hit him. It was the weirdest thing. But it's like we draw out of other people what we project onto them. So we have to be responsible for that, to just see the best in others. And when we do that, we help bring out the best in others. Animal agriculture brings out the worst in everyone. So to counteract the fear that we're facing, see the best in everyone, see the best in ourselves, take time to meditate, cultivate healthy, positive relationships, question all the official narratives, and go deep with what veganism is as a practice that spans, I will say it, multiple lifetimes. Really, this is, you have to have the big picture. This is just one manifestation of your consciousness here. And you're here to learn something and contribute. But remember the big picture. There's a much bigger picture going on. And how we live this life will determine the next one. And so that's very important to remember. And not to think that I have to fight and struggle to stay alive. That's a materialistic point of view. We are infinite spiritual beings. And anyone who questions that has been wounded by the materialistic, toxic, program of animal agriculture, which pervades everything. And a lot of vegans are still wounded by that, I understand. It's work. It's work to root out those negative programs, but it's worth it. All right, so I'm going to stop here. I want to thank all of you for the tremendous efforts that you're making to question the underlying narratives in our society, to question the fear that we have of animals, of wildlife, of germs, of nature, that tremendous fear, because that plays right into the hands of those who will dominate us and exploit us. As we dominate and exploit animals, it's going to happen to us. As we let them be free and healthy, we'll be free and healthy. That's the underlying thing. That's why vivisection, all the toxic pharmaceuticals, all the baloney that we hear, it's all hogwash. If it's not about love and liberation, it has no power. It has no power. Remember that, please. It has no power. So I'd like to close with just a short meditation. Let's just take a moment and feel our connection with each other. Feel our connection with the whole infinite web of life, this beautiful planet, all the other human beings who are working right now, doing the best they can to help be a force for healing in our world, for vegan living, for animal liberation, for human liberation, for health freedom, for kindness, compassion, caring, and higher consciousness to be seeded throughout humanity to the benefit of all beings. Feeling our connection with them, we give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have of a human life, a human birth, to grow and serve. And we give thanks knowing that we are part of this awakening of human consciousness at this time that is so needed during this critical time, and that every day and in every way, we are contributing to this, we are awakening more fully, and we see everyone, all human beings and all living beings, in their true nature as beings of joy and freedom, of kindness and love and respect, and we give thanks for them. And we see them all manifesting their true nature. And the earth, the beautiful earth, this abundant planet, returning to its natural abundant state, healed of the violence inflicted by humans, lost in the wounds of animal agriculture, awakening out of that to homo ahimsa, as our friend Judy Carman says, homo kindness and compassion, the human who is based in our hearts in love and awareness for all life. So thank you all very much for your efforts to spread the message here, and we look forward to continuing to work together to help bring this message to more and more people throughout the world, that together we are one life, and the purpose is joy and freedom and liberation. So thanks very much for joining us, and enjoy the rest of this Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom. We have a lot of tremendous wisdom here. And listen, please, and view these videos and listen to the words, not merely to what they're saying, but to how they say it, to the beings that are saying it, the beings themselves. These are remarkable people, very unusual people who are joining us, who've done a lot of inner work. So it's important to listen not just to the outer words, but to the deeper message behind their words. Intuition. Much love. Thank you very much for joining us.